Okay, we have to have some music here. Let's see. Where is my music? Okay. I can't get to the music real quick. I'm flying is what I want to hear, and okay, everybody. Plan B. Here we go again. I wanted to play. Well, I'm just going to start it with how about a little of you know, we all like to hear a little applause every once in a while. Today, we're having our show at 11 o'clock instead of 1:30 because I've got to get back over to the hospital because my dear friend Michelle had an accident yesterday. She has a very steep driveway, and she went off the side of her driveway in a John Deere Gator, which she uses to go down to the mailbox, and she went off the side of the driveway, and it flipped over, and it was on top of her. But she did a lot of things right, or she wouldn't be here today. There were angels watching over her, and she called 911 first, then she called her husband, and then she called me, and neither one of us got the phone call. Brian got a voicemail. I didn't get a voicemail, but she got people coming to help her because she had her phone secure on her person. Because going the way it went down the hill and flipped over, if her phone had been in the dash of the Gator, it would not have been. It would have been somewhere in the woods. She had it on her. She was able to call 911, and she got the help she needed because she was at home alone when the accident happened. Home alone. Which we all like a little alone time occasionally. But we have got to be prepared. And she was dressed to lace-up shoes. They had to cut her favorite jeans off of her. And this morning, she's in stable but serious condition in ICU. They have her on a ventilator because she's not breathing well because her ribs were broken. And we know everything's going to be just fine. We know everything is going to be fine. Her kids came down last night from Baltimore, and we are going to be strong for them and for Brian, and we're going to do what needs to be done. And that's what having your routines in place does for us. Yesterday, when Robert came in from the office at 11:30, I was dressed to lace-up shoes. All I had to do was throw on a scarf and a shirt over the top of my shirt and hit the road. That's all I did. I grabbed my iPad and my phone and a water bottle, and I was out the door, headed to wherever I needed to go. I didn't even know at that point where I was going. I was either going to her house or going to the hospital. We were on our way just that fast. And when Plan B hits, knowing that everything is taken care of in your home is such a beautiful, it's a relief. Michelle had gone grocery shopping last Friday. She did all her grocery shopping for the week. It was done. Having your routines in place is so important so that the rest of your family isn't having to fend for themselves, which they can do pretty well because you've been teaching them how to take care of themselves. You're giving your children wings. That's important. But when we've got to have things in order and our people have to know where everything is. Like, I know that my health care power of attorney is in the safe. Robert's health care power of attorney is in the safe. Our living wills are in the safe. I'm an organ donor. I know these things. Being prepared for anything, when your routines are in place, when you take care of yourself, when you do the things you need to do to get through the day, but you do a little extra so that nobody suffers. Nobody suffers. And it's not about taking control, but it's about relieving the stress. Relieving the stress so that you can concentrate on the important things in our lives. You know, people are what's important. Michelle is what is important. Brian is what is important. It's the people in our lives that are important. And when we take care of the things around us, it's taking care of them. We don't have to be in control of everything. And we don't have to let the forces that be try to derail us from what we're supposed to be doing, because those daggers are going to come at us every which way. And when we get stressed out, that stress plays havoc on our relationships. So we have to let go of the stress and know that our routines are in place and things are going to be taken care of because our routines are in place. Now, we need some callers. The number is 646-716-9791. I know I've thrown this radio show at you at a time when you weren't expecting to get it. But, you know, Plan B happens. And I didn't want to not do a show today because you all have been listening to the shows. You've been working hard and using the shows to help change the way you think about things. And it's, you know, it's all about fly washing. I need to get in your head a little bit so that you will let go of the negative thinking. Because a lot of times when Plan B happens, we just shut down. We take to our beds because we don't know what else to do. But when you're in control, when your routines are in place, when habits are guiding you, taking you through, step by step through your day, it makes it so much easier. We can do this. I want to thank everybody for all their prayers. There's been thousands and thousands of them on Facebook and in our emails. Please keep them coming. Light candles for Michelle. She's in pretty rough shape. And we are not going to let this stand in the way of what God put her here to do and what God put me here to do. And we are going to be victorious. In fact, that's the word she picked just last week. She is a victor, not a victim. We talked on Thursday, and she picked that word for her word for this year. She is a victor, not a victim. So we are going to be victorious, all of us, when we focus on our simple habits. And, you know, getting up and getting dressed to lace up shoes first thing in the morning, people don't understand how important that is. But when you are ready, for when your husband walks in the door and said, "We need to go right now," kind of like Robert did yesterday, you can walk out the door at a moment's notice, knowing everything is done. That's the power of routines. That's the power of simple habits. So here we need callers, 646-716-9791. Let's talk a little bit about this month's habit. And this month's habit is decluttering for 15 minutes every day. You know, it doesn't take long to get to go into your closet and pick out five things to give away. It doesn't take long to open up a drawer in your kitchen, and this week we're in our kitchens, and open up a drawer and just pluck out things you haven't used in a long time. It's just that simple. Put it in a giveaway box and get it out of the house. When you bring something home from Walmart, a new top, a new pair of shoes, or just some household item, get rid of two items. You get in that you know, mode of decluttering as you bring something new home, get rid of something old. It's a mindset. And getting rid of clutter, we're going to do this every day for this whole year because it's so important to establishing your habits and your routines, because the less clutter you have, the easier it is to do your routines. The clutter is not standing in your way. It's just, you know, it's a powerful tool to declutter something every day. It sets you up. It frees you from the bondage that holds you down. I know Michelle moved in her new house about a year ago, and she has decluttered so much stuff. She just didn't even bring it in the house. Getting rid of clutter really makes your life easier. Clutter has a way of holding you back. And it has a way of making you feel poor. And I mean poor in a money sense. Because that's why we hold on to things. We hold on to things because we think we might need it one day. Isn't that sickening? That God's not going to take care of us. He takes care of the birds and the fishes. And he's not going to take care of us. Bless someone else with your abundance so that you will be blessed in return. You know, and it's not stuff that blesses. It's not stuff that we want more of. It's those blessings, those wonderful blessings. So let go of your abundance, the things you're holding on to, because you might need it one day. And when you do need something, it's going to be handed to you. Just on a silver platter, it'll be wonderful. And you won't even realize that it's happening. But we don't have to be in control of every single minute of every single day. We don't have to make all the puzzle pieces fit together all the time so that we're in control. We just have to be present and be willing. As my husband puts it, be light on our feet. And that's what Plan B is about, being able to change your direction in mid-stride so that you can go do what needs to be done. You know, it's not about putting out fires either. It's about being flexible. That flexibility really does change everything about the stress in our lives. Being able to turn on a dime and do what needs to be done. All of this is so important to relieving the stress we have put on ourselves. We don't have to be perfect. It's all about progress. Progress, progress, progress. You know, and taking those baby steps. Many people want to, you know, get their house clean all in one day. But in the real world, we don't have 8 hours to clean all day long. We have 15 minutes here and 5 minutes there. But when we have routines that are in place, all we got to do is do that routine. You get up in the morning, you go into your bathroom, you swish and swipe, you go back and make your bed because, you know, you really got to pee, so you have to get to the bathroom first. You get dressed to lace up shoes. You go back into your bedroom, make your bed, get, you know, start unloading the dishwasher, put a load of laundry in. Wow. And by the time you've done your morning routine and you sit down to have your breakfast, half the maintenance things in your home have been done. And it's not a big, long list of things. It's emptied the dishwasher so you got a dirty dish disposal unit. It's put in a load of laundry because a load of laundry a day keeps Mount Washmore away. It's swishing and swiping the bathroom so that it's always clean and ready for that terrible stomach virus when it hits your home. It doesn't take long to do a morning routine. 15 minutes tops, from start to finish. Now, if you have to take a shower in the morning, it's a little different. Sometimes I just have to wet my hair because I like to take a bath and relax in the evening. The most important routine of the day, though, is your before bed routine. And here's why. Because it sets you up for success the next morning. Your clothes are picked out. I mean, I had mine laying, hanging up on the shower rod in my bathroom this morning. I knew what I was going to wear, and it was ready to go because I picked it out last night. My medications were sitting out. That's part of my before bed routine. I fill up my water bottles. I put my supplements out in a little dish right at my computer so that I can take them first thing in the morning after I've had my coffee and something to eat. And those little things. And I sit down and I make a little list. You know, we love these lists. I make a little list of what I need to do. The things that are priorities in the day. So my little list last night was to get my little computer out because I want to take it with me to the hospital and make sure it's charged up. And then get my charging block. I mean, I have this little list. Have my water bottles to take with me. Have some charging cables with me. And I'm good. You know, I had my routine for the morning, you know, that's pretty much on my bathroom mirror, everything I need to do. And then the extra things that I wanted to do to be able to walk out the door and get on the road by noon. And that's going to happen. As soon as the radio show's over, I'm going to hop in the car and I'm going to drive over to Asheville and be with my family. We can do this because our routines are in place and our home is practically on automatic pilot. When it's not, that's when the stress happens. That's when we get so the tension builds up in us and our whole family suffers. But having these routines in place and knowing what has to be done and when it has to be done. I mean, yesterday Brian was able, because Michelle has routines, he was able to look in her phone. He knew what her passwords were. He was able to look in her phone and see, and we share a calendar, so I know when she has appointments for things. And he was able to look in her phone and know what appointments she had that needed to be canceled. He was able to call all the family because all of her phone numbers were in her phone. It made it so easy for him, sitting in the waiting room waiting for her to get out of surgery. We just sat there and did everything we needed to do because she had routines in place. She had the things that she knew people would need if she wasn't there. So, everybody, it's going to be a great day. Keep praying for Michelle. And, you know, it's Tuesday, and we're in Zone 2. That's our kitchen. And we got to declutter a little bit every day. Let's do our missions. Rebecca's done up all our missions for us. And we are going to be fine because we have these routines. I'm going to play a song now, and we need callers, 646-716-9791, 646-716-9791, and I'm going to play probably an Eric Dodge song because Eric's kind of on my mind today. And this is one of Michelle's favorite songs, Driving It Home.
Driving it home.
Now, 2 years ago, Michelle and Brian were on their honeymoon at the Daytona 500. That song's for Michelle. She loves NASCAR racing. You wouldn't think that city girl would do that, but she loves it. Now, we're getting back to routines, and maybe we got some callers coming in. 646-716-9791. I love to take your call. It helps me to do the show. You know, today we're on Plan B, and Plan B happens when we least expect it. I mean, right when we least expect it, we've got to turn in the middle of stride and do something else. And, you know, when you got a support team around you, that can happen easily. When you have people that care about you, it just happens. But you've got to be, you got to have your little ducks in a row. I know a few years ago, Leanne Ely and Pam Young and I went out to Seattle, and we got all our ducks in a row, literally. We helped Cozy set a world's record of putting ducks in a row. And they had one purple duck in all the little yellow ducks. Last night I posted a cute video on our Facebook page. And it was about things you can do in the bathtub. And one of the things was take a hot glue gun to all the rubber ducks that you have, you know, the new rubber ducks, and you seal up the hole so they don't squeak, but they don't get water in them either, but they still float. So we can have fun if we take a few minutes here and there and take care of ourselves. I mean, that's the one thing I was trying to take care of Brian yesterday. Brian was in pretty rough shape. And we made sure he ate. We made sure he drank water. We sent him home for a little while after she got out of surgery and we got to see her. And he rested a little bit, changed clothes, and he came back and he spent the night, and he went back home early this morning for a few hours rest, and then he was going to come back. It is so important for us to take care of ourselves, because if we don't take care of ourselves, who will? We don't need to get sick right now. We need to make sure that we're eating and we're drinking and we're doing the things we need to do to take care of ourselves. So let's I'm going to get Tammy on here. I don't have any callers yet. The number is 646-716-9791. And Tammy and I can talk a little bit together because we've been staying pretty tight with Michelle in the hospital. So, hey, Tammy, you going to help me on
good
the show
morning.
A little bit?
Yes, how are you?
I'm good. I slept pretty well. I didn't go to bed till about 1 o'clock. Woke up about 5 for about an hour and prayed, and then I went back to sleep, and I got up at 9 o'clock and started my day.
I woke up a couple of times last night, and I prayed too. Michelle was on my mind all night. I prayed for her healing and her blood pressure to stay regulated so they can start bringing her out of this.
Yeah, they have her pretty much sedated, and they've got her on a breathing machine because she wasn't wanting to breathe because it hurt so bad. And her CO2 levels went up. So they thought they might have to take her back to surgery last night, but they didn't have to once they got the breathing machine going, and it was breathing for her. So that was a relief, to say the least. I went to bed knowing that she was, you know, on the upswing there with the breathing.
Yeah, that's a very important thing to get that CO2 cleared out of your system. So I'm glad they've got that handled for her, and really will continue to pray that God just works miracles and she is back to normal soon. I tell you, things change so quickly. And I loved what you were saying about routines this morning and how they are the touch points that get you through these times.
Yeah, they keep us from everything falling by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
It gets us. It's actually comforting having your routines. And I've had many testimonials over the years that have said, you know, they, you know, had a big problem in the family, and because they had the routines, it comforted them so much because the house stayed put together and food got put on the table. And all the things that need to be done was done. And that's just wonderful.
It is. And you just do the next thing on your routine and you don't worry about everything else. Just focus on that next thing. And for us, we go to a very minimal routine when we go through sickness or we lose family members. But we still do the things that make the day pleasant. We do our nighttime routine before we go to bed. If nothing
lay
else
out your clothes.
Working,
yeah.
Doing that, laying out your clothes and having the sink emptied, everybody's teeth brushed, hugs and kisses. You know, we just finish our evening on a good note and we start the next morning on a good note.
And it's calm.
It is. It is.
It is so calm.
The daytime, when you're dealing with sickness especially, the daytime can be chaotic because you have to deal with immediate needs over and over and over, especially with sick children. And to have that calm when you're ready to go to bed makes all the difference.
Well, you know, it's that time of year when we got stomach flu coming into our houses and all those things happening. You know, the viruses happen. But if you've got your little day at the beach bag made up, you've got electrolytes there, you know, Gatorade and the things you need to keep the family hydrated. That's the main thing when you got a stomach virus. Making sure your toilet's clean, so when they hug that porcelain phone, you're not grossed out by it. You know, making sure you got a beach bucket, a sand bucket, so that the kids, when they need to throw up, they got something handy. That's why we call it a day at the beach. If you have to sleep in the bathtub, you know, get one of those air mattresses and blow it up and put a kid in the tub, because you never know when it's coming both ends. You got to wash them.
We need to share that article you wrote last year again about that day at the beach bucket. I require 4 beach buckets because I have 4 boys.
And, you know, the shovel from the beach works, too, and a rubber scrubber so that you can, if it hits the floor, you can clean it up. There's so many uses for those beach buckets. And if you don't have your supply of beach buckets when summer rolls around, get you some and put it in a beach bag with Gatorade and Pedialyte and all the stuff you're going to need to keep your family hydrated and ready to go, because there's nothing better than not having to run to the store to get these things. You know, clear soups and just having things in this beach bag, so, and you don't touch it till you need it.
That's right, and this is the time of year I do recommend Clorox wipes when you have sickness in the house, to go around and wipe the doorknobs and the light switches and the refrigerator, the places they're touching over and over with their little germy hands. That really cuts down on more people getting sick in the house if you can keep those commonly touched surfaces wiped down.
Well, one of the things, you know, I don't like being at hospitals, and yesterday when I got in from the hospital, and several times while I was at the hospital, I was washing my hands, I was sanitizing my hands because I have hand sanitizer everywhere, but when I got home, I got in a hot bathtub and you know, used a lot of soap, because you just got to get the germs off of you. You just got to get the germs off of you. And washing your hands when you come in from the outside world, and I try not to touch doorknobs. I'm like a germ phobe. I stick my hand inside my sleeve or take my shirt tail and open the door with it. I'm real particular about those things. But getting your kids to wash their hands every hour if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the bout is over with, you may want to sanitize some toys. You know, wipe things down with those Clorox wipes. I know some people say you're making the germs worse, but you know, I just feel better about it. Hot soapy water works too. Fill the bathtub up and soak. And anyway, there's lots of stuff that has to.
If I go to the doctor or the hospital, I come home and my shoes come off and they get cleaned. And my clothes go in the dirty clothes, because there are so many things on those floors and those surfaces that you get exposed to.
You know, life is short. We all know that. Life is really short, and when we can do a few things every day that brings us comfort, and it's all about you being comforted and reducing your stress levels. And when you're de-stressed by having these routines, the rest of the family is too.
Oh, yes, because you're not running around with your hair on fire screaming at everybody to pick up stuff and do things. You have a much more calm spirit because you're not dealing with clutter and chaos.
Just knowing what has to be done and doing it, you know, that effort you put into it changes everything. That little bit of effort, those baby steps you take, are going to make such a big difference in your life, the lives of your family, and the people around you. You're going to be more able to help people that need. So yesterday we're sitting in the waiting room at the hospital, in the surgical waiting room, for ICU. That's where they put us. And this family came in, and it wasn't just, you know, half a dozen family members. It was all the grandparents, all the in-laws. It was 40 people came in to the waiting room from the same family. It was all the people this young lady worked with. She had had a car accident and was thrown from her car. She is all the people she worked out with at the gym. I mean, there were 5 preachers there. And people were praying. It was like being in church. I was just, and finally I got to talk with the mother. She came over to us, and she was a pacer. You know, some people need to sit and just chill. This woman, if she walked a mile, she walked 20 miles in that waiting room yesterday. She just paced up and down and up and down, and her daughter had been in one surgery to repair, you know, liver damage and spleen and all that stuff, and then they had to take her back to surgery for the brain injury. So they were, you know, putting it in God's hands, and everybody there lifting everybody up in the waiting room. And it was just a powerful place to be yesterday. It was sad, but it was still so uplifting to know that so much faith was in that room. And that's all we've got is, you know, our faith and knowing everything's going to be okay. I almost canceled the radio show today. Well, in fact, I told Rebecca yesterday we would, and then I woke up in the middle of the night and I said, oh, no, devil be gone. We are not, you know, people out there need help, and I'm not going to take away from those who are in need because the devil has thrown a monkey wrench into our lives. You know, I'm not going to do that. I am going to stand strong and be vigilant in what my purpose is. This is what Michelle would want us to do. We've got a big speech this Thursday, and I thought about canceling it, and then the minute it hit me, I knew where that voice was coming from. And I said, I'm not canceling it. I'm sitting here practicing, talking to myself practically, and that's what I got to do on Thursday. I got to give an hour speech on Thursday over the phone. And I've done it before, and I can do it again because God gives me the power and the strength to, and he tells me what to say pretty much. We can have what we need, when we need it, when we put our faith where it belongs. And, you know, in Jesus' name, we cast out the evil that has come to throw monkey wrenches into our plans because, you know, just make a plan and see what happens. Everything is a life is plan B.
It is, and it brings us back to Michelle's word for the year. You're victorious when you do that.
Yeah. I'm a victor, and I made her a little sign that said, am a victor. And we are victorious. When, I mean, you've had a lot on you this year. I mean, you got last-minute wedding plans. They got engaged in December or Thanksgiving, and here you're having a wedding in 2 weeks, and you got all your little ducks in a row. And, you know, last week when you sent me the pictures of the reception area at the church, and you said, I'm not going to worry about it. I have a plan, and there's somebody who's going to fix it.
Yes,
you did so well.
They ran out of money, and they just barely finished getting the bathrooms installed in their fellowship hall. And so there's a lot of unfinished areas. But there's a plan, and I don't have any stress about it. And I know it'll all come together next week. And this week is just small baby steps of having things lined up at a launch pad area for the wedding. That's pretty much what I've established at this point. Is a launch pad, because I don't want to have a 3-page list for next week. I want to start working step by step this week, making sure I have a lighter to light the candles, making sure that I have the decorations that we've made for the tables. And so I just have a nice area in my living room, and some people would probably call it clutter, but it's my launch pad for the wedding, and it will all be taken care of after the wedding and put back where it goes or given away. So I feel really calm this week about it all.
We do the same thing when we're getting ready to go to conferences. Our next conference is March the 17th, 18th, and 19th in Nashville. I think those are the dates. I know one of them is St. Patrick's Day. That's how I remember it. And we start, I ordered me a new stool. Quentin will be so happy that I have a new stool for the stage. And Robert has put it together and glued it together so that it's not rickety. And it just came in, and Robert has put that thing together for me. And we start a staging area at the office. In fact, we have everything on a pallet up high out of the way so that we can, and shrink wrapped so it's protected. But we'll get all our little bags, and you know I'm the bag lady when it comes to a bag for this and a bag for that. And we'll get our stuff ready to go for the conferences. And I'm excited about it. Michelle won't be able to go with us. She'll still be recovering. But, you know, we'll make it, won't we, Tammy? Because you know what Michelle has to do, and I know what Michelle has to do. And we're going to pull together, and we're going to make it just fine.
Yes, we are. We are. I was thinking about that yesterday. And I know that she will choose to continue on touching ladies' lives because you've made a difference in her life, and in Brian's life, and in Liz's life, and in Mikey's life, and all these thousands of women that listen to your podcast. She wants you to continue touching lives, and I know that you're going to do that.
I got to take a... Not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. Michelle, you know, your word this year is joy, you know, finding joy in everything you do. Well, Michelle, if we all lived our lives the way Michelle has lived hers, she has the joy of a child. She sees everything as a joyful time. I mean, when I first hired Michelle to travel with me, because my son and my husband didn't want me to travel alone, the first thing she said to me is, we have to see things when we go places. And because of her childlike fascination with seeing the country, we have seen Mount Rushmore. We've seen the Cadillac Ranch in Texas. We have been to Alcatraz in San Francisco Bay. I mean, we have been some places, I'm telling you. We have talked to prairie dogs in South Dakota. I mean, we have laughed more than any two people and had more fun because She says, we're not just going to go hold up in a hotel room. We're going to see stuff. So we go out a day early, and sometimes we stay a day late. We've been in caves. We've been on top of, well, we tried to get on top of Pikes Peak in Colorado, but it was closed down because it was snowing. I mean, we have done some fun things, and I wouldn't take anything for them. Her joy is contagious. If you don't think her laughter is contagious, go check out the videos of me trying to open up the declutter kit and put it back together for the first time. She took the video, and she couldn't stop laughing, and the camera shook, and it's on our YouTube page. Her laughter is so contagious, and we're going to hear that laughter again because she knows how important she is to me and to all the ladies and to her family. She is going to be with us again, and we're going to get her through this, and she's going to come out stronger. I know it. I feel it. And God has a plan.
He does have a plan, and her joy is contagious. You can't be around her and not smile. It's just not possible.
She just makes us laugh.
To her and not smile. She has that about her. And she's had you at some holy places, too, on your journeys. You've been to shrines and had some very deep, meaningful time on the road with her, too. So she has deeply touched you and a lot of others, being her. And she's overcome a lot to be where she's at now.
Well, tomorrow is the first day of Lent. And the Lenten season is 40 days of, you know, giving up something, and 40 days, I like to add in something. So, you know, 40 days of giving up something, 40 days of giving something in service to somebody else or something. You know, pick something that you're going to do for 40 days. Maybe it's a bag of clutter. You're going to get rid of your out of your house every day. 40 bags of clutter. Imagine how much clutter you can get rid of in 40 days. You know, it's letting go of those control issues that we have.
It's letting go so God can bless you back for letting go.
Isn't that the truth?
And that's a big lesson.
It is a big lesson. And you know, clutter, you know, releasing clutter becomes contagious. Because if you let go of clutter,
you're giving with an open hand. You're giving with an open hand. You're not holding it in a closed hand.
Getting it out of the house is going to make your routines so much easier. I know you work with some wonderful women that are fly ladies, and then you've got all your little fly babies that you're working with. And if we can ever get across to our fly babies how important it is to release the clutter, that frees them up, that their routines can become automatic. And they, you know, they want to start out with these great big, huge list for their routine. They want to get everything done, and their routines will take 3 or 4 hours. You know, Superwoman couldn't do those. But, you know, you get up, you can get dressed to lace up shoes, you can swish and swipe your bathroom, you can put a load of laundry in, and you can empty your dishwasher while your coffee's making. It doesn't have to take all day. That one simple habit.
Yeah, and I have to encourage my ladies in that regard, because they do want to say, I want to clean out this entire closet. And I'm like, but what about just the stuff that's on the counter that's clutter? Why don't we deal with that first, and then we'll deal with the closet in small steps? But they think they're going to get the satisfaction of doing one really big project, but really what's going to happen is they'll burn out and they'll not want to do anything for days. And so
it's
keeping their focus on the small thing.
It's our perfectionism that wants to empty out the closet. It's our perfectionism that wants to see the empty closet. It's our perfectionism that wants to see the empty drawer. We want that clean slate when all mm-hmm. we really got to do is just pluck some things out of there. And plucking every day is going to reduce the clutter in that area. Run through the house and do a 27 fling boogie. That's gather up 27 items that are trash. And then what you do is you do the same thing again, but you gather up 27 items that are good items that you can donate, that you mm-hmm. can bless someone else with your abundance. That's 54 things. And when I was decluttering, I did it 3 times a day. I was taking so much stuff to the Humane Society that they knew me by name, but mm-hmm. I had rules. I couldn't go into the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't look for more clutter. I had to leave it at the back door where they wanted their donations.
Right.
You don't want to take more home than you brought. And, you know, that's sometimes what we do. We go to yard sales and we gather up this, that, and the other thing, and it starts piling up, and you don't even know what's in the bags when you've gone home.
No, you don't. And I encouraged one of my ladies yesterday. She was having a hard time letting go of something, and I said, put it away in a box for 1 month. Let's talk about it in 1 month and see. If you
oh, that's a good
it,
idea.
If you used it, if not, then let's get rid of it. Because she was having a very emotional reaction to letting something go, and I did not want to push her emotionally in getting it out. So.
And you'll know when the time is right.
Out of mind. And,
yeah.
and I said, let's just have a month and see what happens.
And she in
a
month, a
good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In a month, she might not be able to let it go again, but that's okay. She's still looking at it. And when the time is right, she will know.
Mm-hmm.
She'll look at why she's holding on to that. What benefit she gets from having that. You know, when our kids are little, they want, you know, they say, mine, 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 mine. This is
mm-hmm.
mine. You know, I have to have this because it's mine. You know, what's the benefit of holding on to that item? What does it give her?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What? I don't even have the right word, but she's getting something out of holding on to it. You know, does she think that if she lets it go, she's letting the memory of that person go? Well, take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had people hold on to grandma's last Kleenex box. I know that sounds silly, but they were terrified of letting go of grandma's last Kleenex box. It was a Kleenex box.
Mm-hmm.
And it
right.
didn't have any Kleenexes in it. It's just something. Grandma isn't in the Kleenex box.
No. No, she's not. And in that case, it's better to have a picture where you can remember Grandma. You don't need a physical item like a Kleenex box or a handkerchief or a doily. I think I saw a post yesterday in our group for our fly babies who talked about what do you do with antique doilies that Grandma made. You know, she doesn't know
well,
how to release it and let go. And so there were several suggestions given to her, and I thought that was really great to see how the ladies gave her ideas on just letting go. You don't have to keep them all.
Mm-mm. You don't have to keep them all. I have myself made a Christmas wreath out of some doilies that my husband's grandmother had made. And they were beautiful. And I just, you know, put it around. It turned out really well. But it was a Christmas item. It looked like a great big snowflake.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many things you can do with doilies. You can just, and here it is coming up on Valentine's Day. I mean, Valentine's Day is a special time. And I've already got my husband's Valentine's present. And I couldn't wait to give it to him, so I gave it to him early. But when we first started dating, it took him 2 weeks to get the nerve up to kiss me. And he choreographed our first kiss to Saint-Saëns' Organ Symphony. And there's a point in the symphony where the organist pulls out all the stops on the organ and plays a chord. And then after about 8 measures, he changes the chord to another chord. And I've always wondered what that looked like in the conductor's score. So I bought him the score for the symphony. That was, and see, one day last week, here's how I got the idea. We left the Chinese restaurant, and the symphony was playing on the radio. And we didn't go home. We drove around listening to it because it's our song. And so I got the score for the symphony. And when it came in, I couldn't wait. And he had this big smile on his face. It was so cute. It was just so cute that he was. And so I told him what I wanted for Valentine's Day, because the day we got married, we wrote each other letters, and I said, I want us to read our letters. And we've been married 19 years, and I said, I think it's time we read our letters to each other. And he said, you know, that's a good idea, because I don't want flowers. You know, I got flowers for my birthday. You were there. I got, what, 3 or 4 dozen roses from all of y'all? Every color imaginable. I've even made potpourri out of a bunch of them. So I've saved the yellow petals, and I'm going to put them in a jar. Valentine's Day is every day around here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the greatest gift you can give your husband is not to treat him like a child. It's so funny. You know, I've had people send in emails saying, you know, my husband won't do what I tell him to do. Well, you're not supposed to tell him to do stuff. You're supposed to work together.
Think how you do when he tells you what to do.
Oh, yeah. It's not fun.
No.
I mean, Robert would never tell me what to do. I would never tell him what to do. I can ask him. I say, honey, I need a favor. And he put together my stool for the conferences. Honey, will you help me do this? And, yeah, he's willing. He makes me coffee every morning, and I'm very pleased with that. He spoils me, you know, he just spoils me rotten. He says that's his job. But, you know, I've gotten these testimonials in where these women say, yeah, I can't get my husband to do anything around the house. Well, you got to quit treating him like a child. He's your husband. You married him. He is your helpmate. He's your soulmate. You're a team, not one person in charge of the other person. And sometimes that's hard to do when you have to run the house all day long. It's just you're so used to spouting orders. It's just hard.
It is hard, and what I've noticed is the less clutter we have, and if our routines are staying in place, there really isn't an awful lot that I need him to help me with anyway in the evening. Maybe heavy stuff, and he likes to cook, so a lot of times he'll just jump in and help cook. But just keeping the peace in our house and the chaos down, I don't need him to jump in and help me a lot. So that, I think, also makes a difference. Once you get rid of the chaos and get rid of the clutter.
You're so right, because it just breeds that contention.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's clutter everywhere, and people with little children and lots of toys, that just makes a whole room look messy. And if a room looks messy, your heart feels antsy, and yeah, you don't know what's going on, but it's the clutter that's sucking all the energy out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's time for our show to end, and I've got to hit the road because I want to go see my Michelle. And it's, you know, everything's going to be fine. I know it. I keep praying, everybody. And pray for her boys and Liz and Mikey and Brian, and just keep praying, and I know that our faith is going to sustain us. She's going to be okay, and she's going to be better because of it, and it's all going to be good. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks for helping me, Tammy.
You're welcome.
I love you. I love all
love
y'all
too.
Y'all, just we're gonna end the show with Why Not Today, and keep those prayers coming. Love y'all. Bye.
I've been waiting for just the right moment to start living the life of my dreams. I was hoping some magical moment would come rescue me, but it hit me today, there's no better time to begin. This day I've been given, it's my day to start living, so I'm jumping in. Why not today, while the sun is shining? Today, while I know I can. The past is behind me, tomorrow can't find me till I live today. Why not today? Power lies inside of me. I could